traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians. This is Scott Miller, the founder of IEN Network, International Equine Network. We've got a lot on the table for you today here. We're going to go through a lot of the things that we're following along the equestrian journey that we're on. It's really getting exciting now because we're getting into the fall and Breeders' Cup is coming up and all the big horse shows are going to start lighting up in California and in Florida and all for the winter season. So it's here. The standard breeds will be coming back here to Sunshine Meadows here anytime now. We're already starting to get the show horses in from up north. And we also have Todd Pletcher coming back to our Palm Beach Downs facility. So we're going to get started here today with flying turns. And we're going to talk about some things that are important to the horse people. For example, life after racing. The standard bred is an athletic and intelligent, well-suited for many uses beyond the racetrack. The USTA has long recognized importance of standard bred aftercare program that they send horses to. Standard breds are just unbelievable. They're good at dressage, they're good at driving, they're good at endurance, 3 days of vetting type thing. They have a beautiful move with the things that they do. And they just adapt accordingly. They're a hardy horse. They're good for endurance. It's just amazing how well the standard bred is. The standard bred horse is a relatively young breed, just over 200 years old. Its origin dates back from England of the late 1700s, and specifically to a horse named Marambo. Might be a little bit off on that name, but it has been a legend in the 18th century England, charting races for many years, and was a sire of Messenger, an English thoroughbred credited with becoming the American ancestor of the standardbred industry. Messenger was brought to the United States in 1788 and later was owned by Henry Astor, brother of John Jacob Astor. For 20 years, Messenger produced many of the greatest American racehorses in the stud farms of New Jersey, Pennsylvania, New York. The famous Man-O-War was one of his descendants. He was credited for being the horse whom every standard bred horse is related because of all the breeding and the amount of mares that he bred to. The term standard bred was introduced in 1879 to distinguish the horse trotting horses who met a certain standard for the mile distance. The current standard for two-year-olds is 2.20 minutes, and the three-year-olds is 2.15. The standard bred distance is always 1 mile. It's interesting to remember that the breed of the horse has been able to achieve this standard with some level of consistency, and it appears that Messenger passed it on to very fast genes. So it just goes to show you that in the business, they're trying to keep it pure, keep it steady, keep it correct. And, you know, it's just unbelievable with the standard breds, you know, how they do. It's just phenomenal to see the standard bred run. So go to your local track, standard bred track, and check them out. It's a good day at the races, and you'll have a good time looking at the horses and see just exactly how they do. Now, next, we're going to go to Quest for Equine Gold. We got a lot of things that are coming up here. On September 10th, we had the Tryon Horse Trials. B&A, that's on September 10th at Tryon in North Carolina. Also at the things that we're going to go through here, we're going to be interesting. When you go to try on, they got Comedy Night presented by Comedy Zone, Jay Bliss and Kevin Alderman. That's on September 10th. That's at 10:30 p.m. So there's more than just horse things to do at these different venues. It's exciting. Tryon is one of the premier show horse facilities in this country, and closely to the world. So Tryon's a good place to go visit and see. They have the Grand Prix, $25,000 Tryon Resort Grand Prix. That's on the 25th to go to. They've got live streams on their website. Go to tryon.com, and you'll see exactly what all they have there. It's exciting to see. And another thing that that's interesting that we have here is you can get a lot of the equestrian information from different organizations. And so this is from the U.S. Equestrian. U.S. Dressage and Paralympic team members Roxanne Trennell and Dalton Tate, gold medals in the FEI Grade 1 freestyle to music at the Paralympics in Tokyo. And so they set a world record with a score of 86.927%. And that's just phenomenal, you know, to see that happen. You know, we've got good people in all different areas, traveling all over the world, setting marks from, you know, training here in the United States. I would suggest that you go to the Equestrian Weekly. The all-new Equestrian Weekly newsletter showcases the best of U.S. equestrians, including new and learning center videos, the USEF network schedule for television viewing, the original articles. Equestrian Weekly keeps members informed about about affiliate news, international competitions, information on rule changes, membership updates, and special member offers, and more. Subscribe to the Equestrian Weekly and receive a free USA Equestrian fan membership. So they've got a lot there at USEF that you can go to and really enjoy. And what I like about their website, it's very educational, and it asks you a question. For example, what level do you want to enter the USEF? And if you're a beginner, they have all the right paths to find, all the organizations to go to help you find out about USEF, United States Equestrian Federation. It's just exciting to see some of those things that, you know, that they have there, at USEF. And it's a good time, to, look at it now because you can see all the things that are coming up, in the United States Equestrian Federation. Now we're getting into the heavy duty part of the program. We're going to talk today about why the horse business, especially the thoroughbreds, are finding success. There's a lot of things that go into the horse industry, especially the thoroughbreds, that an owner, which is the one that controls everything, which the owner has to look at and to earn the million-dollar purses that they're going for. And this first little thing from the Jockey Club that I'm going to talk about, it's going to set the foundation for why owners are doing what they're doing. And then we're going to go through some races that are coming up and just, you know, make you understand why the owners do what they do. And this is an important part of the owner's decision here. It's going to talk about the fall crop of 2022. And the more foals that there are in the country, the tougher it is for the owners to find races, you know, to race in, because you have a huge amount of horses that are available and you're constantly running against different horses and everything and on. So it gets a little tough, you know, with so many horses out there. Horses are going to be running at each track. Well, the Jockey Club this year projects a decrease in the 2022 foal crop. The Jockey Club, the breed registry for North American thoroughbreds, is projecting a smaller North American registry thoroughbred foal crop of 18,700 in 2022. This represents 500 fewer foals than in 2021, when the crop estimated was at 19,200 horses, foals, thoroughbred foals. The foal crop projection is computed by reports of mares bred received to date for the 2021 breeding season. RMBs are to be filed by August 1st of each breeding season. Additional foal crop information is available at the Jockey Club online at jockeyclub.com/facebook.asp and the online fact books. It tells you any and everything that you need to know. The North American registered foal crop totaled more than 38,000 in both 2005 and 2006, which was tremendously high at that time. At its high points this century, but the total registered foals has trended downward since then. It leveled off at just over 23,000 a year from during the years 2012 to 2015 before resumptions of declines. Declining foal crops have contributed to less racing in smaller fields that yield lower handle from the bettors. Through the North American handle has fluctuated between $11.3 billion and $11.9 billion since 2015. Stallion owners have not returned their RMBs for the 2021 breeding season and encouraged to do so as soon as possible. Inactive registration, which enables registered users to perform virtually all registration-related activities, over the internet. The most efficient means of submitting RMBs is available at the registry, jockeyclub.com. So that's what the owners are going through. They're starting to look at smaller fields and they're starting to realize how important it is, to follow these foal, trends that are coming up. It helps you plan your racing season for 2022 coming up and 2023 coming up. With smaller fields, owners can be more selective and they can literally virtually stay at one track and produce a good enough income or purse money from the horses that they send there. And then the other thing is it helps you to travel to states that are going to have bigger stake races, that are happening. And so there's a lot of things going on with the owner and the foal distribution, which leads us into another thing, in the international aspect of the thoroughbred industry. Right now, they have a new purse structure that could benefit Puerto Rico. Thoroughbred racing in Puerto Rico is booming, with a pari-mutuel handle of 2021. Having the potential to reach levels that they haven't seen in 10 years. Gross revenue from video lottery terminals, a portion of which bolsters the purses on track, set records this year as well. So in Puerto Rico, they're starting to generate more racing potential through television, through video, and through online betting and everything. It's just amazing how a country like Puerto Rico can sustain a good quality thoroughbred program, which they have. We're looking at a real good thing for Puerto Rico. From January through July, Camarillo reported a total handle of $96 million. If the track continues to average $13.7 million per month, as it has the first half of this year, it will report a total handle of around $164 million. A total handle has not been that high since it reached $162 million in 2011. So we're looking at a lot of different things in Camarillo. They also get 8% of the win from video lottery terminals, which began operating in 2009. From January through June, racing stake from the VTLs, the video lotteries, exceeded $32.8 million. And which that's good for Puerto Rico. You know, it shows that there's a strong need or want for, you know, purse money there. You know, it's just amazing how they're doing that. And in addition to Richard Purses in Puerto Rico, for owners and trainers, we're getting as much more from a handle derived from bonus of Puerto Rico's offers that called retroactive pay. A $4,000 claiming race, for example, may offer a $6,000 purse, which with retroactive pay, the total value of the race can be almost double that $6,000 from the different programs that they're setting up in Puerto Rico. So they're thinking about the horseman, and they're thinking about how he's going to pay his bills. And, you know, it's just phenomenal what that he's, Puerto Rico's doing. And that's becoming, all around the world, you know, and we're looking at, that how things are changing. You know, it's just amazing to see, you know, what's going on. And so now we're going to talk about here in the States, for example. Del Mar Racetrack in California reports a record average daily handle of what they're doing. You know, there in California, it's a great track to go to, good quality horses, good facilities, food, entertainment. It's really good. With racing fans ready to return to normalcy, at Del Mar reported a record average daily average of $18.38 million for its 82nd summer meeting that wrapped up in September 6th. Terrific, simply terrific, said Del Mar CEO Joe Harper. We had our fans back this year. We put on a show of shows for them. The racing was the first rate. The wagering was over the moon, and Del Mar was Del Mar again. And in all its glories, especially, very special. The handle numbers raced, past impressive, 2020 racing season, which struck home for horse players, that went out, and set a record average daily of $17.32 million. The total handle for the 2021 meet was $569 million, for 31 days of racing. The total handle for 27 days reached over $467 million. So it just goes to show you that we're getting back to normal here in the thoroughbred industry, especially at Del Mar. You know, Del Mar is such a beautiful track to go to, first-class operation. You know, it's just phenomenal that they're there. The field size is often a key driver of waging improved as well. In 2020, the track had an exceptional 8.36 horses per race, one of the best marks in the country. In 2021, running four more days this year than last year, that number improved to 8.45 Del Mar horses running per race. So it wasn't much. You know, it's basically adding another horse to the field of eight, and which is good for the gamblers and good for the track. It's just unbelievable what's going on there. It says, our horsemen and horsewomen are excellent in responding to the goals we set out to bolster our Southern California horse population, said Del Mar Executive Vice President Tom Robbins. We substantially increased our purses and increased our bonuses, and they replied in fine fashion. When you realize that the other meets across the country are struggling with horse population, we feel the fortunate to receive the strong participation from owners and trainers coming here to our facility. Now, that goes back to what we were talking about, the folk crop being smaller and everything. most of these trainers stayed at Del Mar and raced. And that was good. They were getting almost 8 horses, you know, a race and everything. So, you know, the population has decreased a little bit, you know, for them, but it's at a proper setting for them, you know, what they're doing there. I'm telling you, you know, it's all good for the horses. You know, what I look at is I look at all the meets, spring, summer, fall, and winter. And people and owners train for those meets, like the Saratoga meet, the Del Mar meet, Keeneland meet, you know, that type of thing. They look to train their horses for that, and they point them to them. And when they do that, they can concentrate on their training expenses, where they're at. You know, they know they're going to be at, let's say, Keeneland for X number of months or days, and they know what they have to look forward to. There, and so they are doing that, and it's coming out very, very good for the owners and for the fans and for everybody. You know, we're back to normal, and just to show you again, Puerto Rico's making a move up, Saratoga, Santa Anita, Del Mar, Churchill, Keeneland, Chicago, they're all offering better, you know, purse money. And so now we get to where the real big money comes in. And it's just amazing. Every year it gets better and better and better. And we have more and more Americans training for the Dubai World Cup card worth $30.5 million in 2022, which is just an ungodly amount of purse money for one day of racing or you know, a few days of racing there. It says the Dubai Racing Club announced September 7th increased purses for its Dubai World Cup sponsored by Emirates Airlines. Card and purses will exceed $40 million for its 2021-22 season. The signature program will be in March 26, 2020 at Maiden Racecourse. It will feature purses of $30.5 million with all races worth at least $1 million. So now we have, you know, the international people that are putting up the purse monies for the trainers to get to. But it's kind of nice to know that you can start training, you know, your horses for March 26th in Maiden, and you know that you're going for $1 million every race that's on the card. And so a lot of American trainers now are having 2, 3, 4 horses that they're sending over, you know, to do that. It's just phenomenal how they're doing what they're doing, you know, with their money and their wagering. The wagering there is just goes out the roof then, you know, for them at Maiden Racecourse over there. They have an interesting day that they're going to have. That says the 2021 race meet will kick off November 4th with 22 dates. Aside from the Dubai World Cup, the highlight is the Super Saturday sponsored by Emirates Airlines program, March 5th. Super Saturday will receive an enhancement in prize money and will now offer a total purse of more than $2.2 million on that day, which is nice. It's just, you know, it's getting crazy with what we're doing here with all the different races that are coming up and, you know, all the different tracks and how they're going and everything. And, you know, we're just so excited about it. And, you know, just looking up, coming up here, you know, in the next few weeks, we've got a lot of good racing coming up, which is starting off the season, you might say, and kind of a how would you say it, kind of a soft start to the thoroughbred you know, season that's coming up, which is exciting, you know, for everybody to go and see. September 9th is really going to be the day that everything kind of gets going across the country here with the different races and stake races that we're going to. It's start to get your calendar out and start planning where you're going to go and where you're going to see and vacation at all the facilities. A lot of vacation stuff to do. and everything. And one of the things that we're looking at now is now that the season started is at Kentucky Downs. They got the claiming crown the Canterbury Prep, which is $100,000. They got the claiming crown Distaff Dash Prep, which is $100,000. They had the Kentucky Downs Juvenile Sprint, which is $500,000. And then they had the One Dreamer Stakes, which is $400,000. And that's all on September 9th. That's today and everything. So I got some good racing coming from Kentucky Downs. And then on September 10th, we had the Oklahoma Stallion Stakes, which is $50,000. And we have two divisions of that. And so that's a good race there. Then, you know, we're just going like through here. All the next 4 or 5 days, you know, are big races. We have the Del Mar Derby by Caesar Sportsbook, $250,000 added September, you know, that was in September 4th, and which was a great, fantastic race there and everything. So it's just amazing to see everything that's going on in the horse business. And I encourage everybody to go out to find a local track that they have and go to their websites and see what all they have available for you, because a lot of the tracks offer backside tours and they have all kinds of different programs for to get the young kids involved, face painting, seeing horses, and you know, just seeing how everything operates there. And so that's really, you know, an exciting thing to do. You know, with us are there. And going back to the races again, I got a little off course there. Del Mar, they had a fantastic race. It's called the I'm Smoking Stakes. It's $100,000 added. It's for California breds, and it's for two-year-olds. And this is getting into our how they get their documentary. This is it's a nice little race here for a two-year-old to get some experience in. Usually they're a small field. It's $100,000 added for the horse. And, you know, it's a nice little stake race for it. It's 6 furlongs long, so it's going to give the horse a chance to get in good company, stakes company, you know, and only going 6 furlongs. And again, we go back to about the number of horses that are averaging at the racetracks. And at Del Mar, it was an 8-horse field in there. And so, you know, it shows that the statistics are proven out for what happens. And it was a good field that they had there. Peter Miller had a nice horse in there. He had the number one horse, Ubashi, in there, cowbreds, which was good. We had a lot of nice horses in here. Had Rock and Rye, which was by a trainer Mr. Solis. He was at 9 to 5. He's a good horseman. He actually had 3 horses in this race, and so we're going to take a look and see how he did here on that day. And when it came up to see what happened, it was Joker Boy that came in. He paid $19.80, and Mr. Solis ended up running second and third in the race, and you know, he did very well in it. But that's $100,000 added 6 furlongs for two-year-olds that are cowbred. And what I like about it is it gives you a chance to see what kind of horse you do have. And it gives you a chance to see how he recovered from the actual race that he was in. You know, and it didn't, 6 furlongs is not a race that's gonna, you know, beat your horse up too much, you know, and stressing too much. It's a nice, you know, opener for him to do that. And you'll probably see, you know, these horses come back again, you know, at a mile and a 16th and a stakes race down the road, which will be coming up. And everything. So, you know, that's what we're looking at there. And then we go back out to the East Coast, back to Saratoga, and they had a maiden special weight, $100,000 up. It's a mile and 16th on the turf for maiden two-year-olds. And a lot of trainers go to, you know, a mile and 16th on the turf for two-year-olds and see how they adapt to it. And then a lot of times these horses that you see in a race like this, you know, it's a good, it's a, literally a stake race, not a maiden special weight, I would say. But the thing I like about it is you'll see a horse go out on the turf at a mile and 16th, and then a month or two later at Keeneland, you'll see the horse come back and run a 6 furlong or a mile race, you know, at Keeneland and start his journey onto the Kentucky Derby. So that's really a nice race that they had there at Saratoga. And the thing I like mostly about it is that you're in great company. You're in company that's going to really test you, push you to the wall, and see what happens. And in this race that we had there at Saratoga on September 4th, this horse was just phenomenal. His Annapolis is the name. And he's trained by Todd Pletcher. And Todd usually is a pretty smart, you know, trainer. This horse, he rallied in clear and he went by 4.5. And that's fantastic for a nice horse to, like Annapolis, you know, to run. Todd's a great trainer. He said the horse went around the first turn in the two path and was unhurried towards the back, angled from the two path to the four path on the final turn and rallied outside under the jockey's crop, and he wins the race. And now that's a two-year-old. This is a Derby horse that's been a mile and a 16th already on the turf in what I consider stakes company, and he's going to be a horse to watch down the road. You know, to follow him down the road and see how he does. And the horse's name is Annapolis. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how they get there. And this is one of the ways they do. It's on the turf, which is not usually done in the thoroughbred business. At a mile and a 16th, it's usually on the dirt because the Derby's on the dirt. And so now we know that the horse got distance in him, and then he might be able to get that mile and a quarter first Saturday in May. And then, and again, at Saratoga, the same situation with two-year-olds. It's $100,000 maiden claiming for two-year-olds. And it's going 6 furlongs on the dirt, or 7 furlongs on the dirt. I'm sorry about that. And so a lot of trainers put their horses in there and put them in a nice field like this to see exactly how they might do. And we had a lot of nice horses in there. Steve Asmussen has one in there. Albert Shaw had one in, Brian Lynch, George Weaver, Barkley Tag, Billy Mott, Dallister. So those are the cream of the crop trainers in this country. And we also have to realize that Todd Pletcher had the number 4 horse in this race. And so it just goes to show you the diversity that he does when he trains it. From the mile and 16th on the turf in the winter, you know, now he goes down to 7 furlongs. And this horse that he had is a nice horse. And it's his name is Misbehave. And Misbehave was unfortunately ran 5th in the race. And it looks like this horse might need more distance. So now they know that the horse can go 7 furlongs on the dirt, and he needs more distance that he has to go through. So and that's how they get on the track to how they get there to the 2022 Kentucky Derby. You know, it's just amazing, you know, how these things go. In an article that we had here, it's about Annapolis, it says Annapolis, a warfront stud, my Miss Sophie, made a sparkling debut September 4th in the $100,000 made flushweight on the turf at Saratoga. I says, the 2-year-old Todd Fletcher trainee closed with a strong rally after tracking eighth behind the opening fractions of 22.33 and 49.68, set by I'll Figure It Out. He sailed to the lead outside of the furlong marker with a mile and a 16th in the mile and 16th inner turf test. He kicked clear outside in the 16th ball and drew away under steady urging from the jockey Arlad Ortiz, Jr., to win by 4.5 lengths in a time of 143 and 4.7 on a firm turf course. So that just goes to show you, you know, how this thing goes. He was sent off at 6-5 odds. So that tells you that the local bettors know what they're doing and what they're talking about and everything. When they interviewed Todd, he said he had a great turn of foot. He kept going to the wire and galloped out nicely. Fletcher said during the winner's circle interview at Saratoga Live, it was pretty much everything you could hope for in a debut of the horse. So, you know, that goes to show you there that this horse had plenty of gas at the end of a mile and a 16th, galloped out good. And next thing you know, you'll see him on the Derby watch. You know, we know he's a good turf horse, and he's a 2-year-old. And we'll see just what happens with, you know, with this horse and where he goes and how far he goes, you know, in this training this winter. And he's at Palm Beach Downs, one of our facilities here in South Florida in Delray Beach. He'll be here stabled with us all winter, and I'll get to see him every day. And I'll be able to give you reports, updates on him and see just exactly how he does, you know, throughout the winter program here and everything. And then hopefully we'll be in the winter circle May, the first Saturday in May. And then also on September 4th, we had another good race at Saratoga. It's called the Jockey Club Gold Cup. It was a great race. Again, we're looking at you know, a 6-horse field, you know, and so it's all going back to the statistics that the Jockey Club has, you know, in here. It was a good field of horses. You know, I was really surprised that, you know, what they had there. It was $1 million race that they had. It was just a good race altogether. They had a lot of Derby horses in that field, and you know, it was an exciting race there with it. I'll have to look up didn't look up the results yet on it. Had some medical issues in the past week, so it kind of put me behind. But the whole point of the program here is I know that I ramble on and you know, try to things get a little, you know, sketchy here and there. But, you know, we're trying. We're bringing this network around to what needs to be done, you know, here in the industry, the horse industry. And the whole premise behind what I'm doing is trying to bring information on the horse industry to the public. And that's our main goal here. We want to be a one-stop shop to where you could stop here, you know, on our website at intv.org, and you can see what we have there. And what's interesting is that there's not any facilities out there or programs out there that do what we're doing here at IEN. That's for sure. They're mostly specifically orientated to their own association. In other words, like the Thoroughbreds or Thoroughbreds, Standardbreds or Standardbreds, you know. And so when you go to their website, you just get what Thoroughbreds, you just get Standardbreds, you just get show horses. But when you come to intv.org, you get everything. Now, like on September 11th, we have live on our website the Pepsi North America Cup live from Woodbine in Canada. It's part of the AmericanBestRacing.net network. And so that's what we have, you know, there. Then we have a program on our website, which is really interesting. I think everybody will like. It's called the Florida Horse, and it explains how the Florida horse industry, all the industry, impacts the economy in the state of Florida, you know, and the local towns and the farms and everything. And so that's one of the things that we're trying to do, you know, here on IEM. Then we have a section about the RVs that are used by the horsemen. Instead of spending time and money and renting apartments or hotels and everything, the horsemen, they go to somewhere for 2 or 3 months and they get a Keystone Montana trailer, which is just like having a house, a house on wheels. You know, and to go along with that, what I try to do here is get advantages for all the horsemen to make it easier for them. And along with the Keystone Montana trailer, we have a company that we deal with. It's called Shipt, SHIPT.com. And they deliver groceries all over the country. You just go to their website and you click onto it, put in your zip code, and they'll tell you what grocery stores you have available there. And the great thing about it is they've added CVS to it, Costco, Walgreens, and all kinds of different companies. So when you go to ship, you can get your medicine, you can get food, you can get any and everything you need, you know, from the different companies that they deal with and businesses in those areas. And so, you know, that's one of the things that we're doing here is, you know, kind of making it easy for the horsemen. We have the Weather Channel on there. You can go to the Weather Channel, click in on the Weather Channel, put your zip code in, and you know what your weather's going to be the next day. And so all these things kind of go together. You know, we've got, you know, the RV, we got ship. We got the feed company and their hallway feeds, and they deliver the feed to anywhere you go in this country and internationally. And so that's what we're trying to do here, is make it convenient for all of our horsemen to get any and everything they need. And then one of the things that we have that's relaxing is enjoy movie night on IEM with the family. This week we have Cowboys Don't Cry, and it's a great movie for, you know, the whole family to watch. It's entertaining and it's relaxing. And so we hope you go to that, you know, and take a look at that. Then we have, At the Wire, which is our thoroughbred program, and we have weekly programs of live racing, on At the Wire. We have, Chuck Wagon, which is coming up. We're building a group of recipes for to cook when you're at the horse shows or horse racing, or, you know, just at your home, that the horsemen will enjoy, that are all easy and simple and don't take a lot of time, you know, to do. And then we have a program called Chucker. Again, it goes back to all the things that we're trying to get on one page. Chucker is about the polo industry, both domestic and international. And when you go to Chucker on there, it's such a popular program that there's live polo matches all over the world. You know, you can get up 5 o'clock in the, you know, you can get up at 1 o'clock in the morning and you can click on there and you can watch, you know, polo matches in Europe and South America and all in Eastern Europe and Europe, you know, all over the place. Then we have Flying Turns, which is all about the standard bred industry. And if you go there and click on to Flying Turns, you'll see what live races that we have going on. And then if you click on U.S. Trotting, they'll tell you where they're at and how you can watch them and, you know, the whole nine yards. And that's what's really good about our website. You know, we're getting so many different areas to go to that you'll never get bored. You'll spend an hour on it just trying to, you know, go through and see what all is there. Then we have the International Equine Report, which is what we're doing here today. You know, and we try to get everything all gathered up and, try to give you the highlights of all the different associations and racing and sales and, you know, that type of thing. And then one of the things that I think most people will really like is our Quest for Equine Gold. And Quest for Equine Gold is about the show horse industry and the Olympics. But more importantly, there's a phenomenal thing that has been created by a guy by the name of Mark Bellissimo. Mark Bellissimo came into Wellington, Florida, and he made the Palm Beach area. He just overnight, he just turned things around. You see million-dollar horses. You see Olympic winners. You see the best of the best of the show horse industry at Wellington. And it used to be just seasonal, but now it is getting to where it is going year-round. Because what they've done is they've come in and they made it a little better for the younger kids. They've made classes smaller and they got the younger kids involved, and it's just exploded in interest with the horses out here. And there's another place that you can go to. It's called the World Equestrian Center in Ocala, Florida, and in Ohio. It's unbelievable. Over 4,000 acres in this facility. They have five indoor air-conditioned arenas. They have camping. They have a hotel. They have a church. They have a grocery store. They got any and everything that you could want all at one spot. And it's similar to the concept that I have here at IEN. Here, I'm an internet facility, and we're expanding all over the world. And there's not a country that we can't go to or won't go to, you know, to deliver horse information. But the World Equestrian Center has brought everything together, kind of like what we have here at IEN TV. They've got a church. They've got a grocery store. They've got a hotel. They've got camping facilities. They've got a blacksmith facility. They have a multi-purpose sports arena there. They literally have any and everything that you could want in the horse business, both in Ohio and Ocala, Florida. And that's the World Equestrian Center. Then we go down to Last Call. And Last Call is, and the reason it's called the Last Call is I named it because I want to know who makes the last call at the sales. And what we do is we go to all the different sales that we have all around the world. Like we just had yesterday, the Magic Millions from Australia. We've got the Mid-Atlantic yearling sale coming up in Timonium, Maryland on October the 4th. That we have. And then September 28th, we have the California fall yearling sale coming up. And so we got a lot of things that are on our plate here, you know, that we're bringing to you. And the exciting thing about this is you can go to the last call and you can watch the sales, and you can, and what a lot of my family will do, we'll sit around and we'll just kind of, you know, speculate what the horse is going to bid for, you know, what he's going to sell for. Is it going to be $1,000 or is it going to be $1 million? You know, they've gone as high as $6 million, you know, in some of the sales that we've had on IEM. So it's just, you know, interesting to see to do that. And it's exciting. And we have all breeds on there, just not thoroughbreds, but we have all breeds on Quest for Equine Gold. So, you know, it's exciting and it's different. And then we go to our quarter time. See who's riding when and where. It's the AQHA. That's the Cowboy Channel, folks. That's the ones that the real deal horsemen in the world. And you go there and you'd be surprised of all the things that AQHA does. It's just amazing about the museum they have in Texas and about the horsemen, and it goes in depth to stories on how the horsemen travel, how they live, where they're riding. You know, you see bull riding, you see any roping, you see any and everything, you know, on AQHA. And it's really great entertainment when I go there, because what I like about it is is there's a lot of historical things there that you can go back and, you know, check on how cowboys really lived and, you know, what they did and where they went and everything. And it's a great, fantastic website. And I tell you what, the young kids, the boys and girls that are, you know, getting 7, 8, 10 years old, if you get them to go to the, AQHA website, you'll be surprised. It's good entertainment, good, clean family entertainment. Then our last one that we have here is 0 to 10. And it's all about what you need to know about dressage. And dressage is a great sport because a lot of retired thoroughbreds and standardbreds go into dressage. It's a beautiful sport. And the horses dance to music. And you can go to there and it tells you all about how it does and everything they do there, and it's just phenomenal to see, these horses dance like they do and everything. So that's our 0 to 10 on there. And then we go down to how they get there, the 2022 Kentucky Derby. And right now I have two of Todd Pletcher's horses that I'm thinking about selecting. And when you go to this part of the website, the journey starts here, and it starts with the owners to the 2022 Kentucky Derby. And right now we have Claiborne Farm there, and it's interesting to watch that video because it tells you a little bit about how they get there, what all goes through at the farm, and takes a tour of the farm there in Lexington, Kentucky. Then the next step in how they get there that we're following is Todd Pletcher. It's super trainer. It's the age of the super trainer. Todd's won 5,000 races and numerous stakes races all over the country. And so we're following him and his horses on how they get to the Kentucky Derby. I haven't announced the horses that we're following yet, because I want to wait until after the Breeders' Cup Juvenile to see how many horses are in there and where they come from out of there. And then after the super trainer meet the trainer, we have Equine Transportation. And it's really a nice little video there. It shows you how horses train, transport through the air and on the land in trucks and trailers and airplanes. And it's a nice little video in there. And you can catch a little glimpse of me in there when I was flying horses for Enstone Air Services. But all the horses have to get to the Derby, and they have to get to California, they get to Canada, they have to get to Europe. And you see how all the Olympic horses travel from all over the world. It's really good. And then we go down to our next segment, which is good, and it's a good friend of mine, Steve Norman. And Steve Norman is the best blacksmith in the world. This guy, he's phenomenal in what he does. And I use that word phenomenal a lot because that means I really do think that they're good and everything. But Steve is great. He's shot a lot of Derby horses and multiple Derby winners. He's good at what he does. He plays bluegrass music in his off time, and he's there every day at the at the barns. And the great thing about it is, and one thing I learned from an owner is that the owner told the trainer, he said, "Don't tell the blacksmith what to do." He said, "We got Steve Norman," and Steve Norman is spot on. And you just let Steve do what he does. And in my experience with Steve, we've never had any problems. He's always corrected us and put us in the right direction. And a lot of his shoes that he's put on across the finish line in this country, thousands of horses, you know. Then from the blacksmith, we jump over to the feed department, Hallway Feeds in Lexington, Kentucky. Hallway Feeds is a great little video that we have here for them. It tells you how they make them and shows you how it's all done. And they can answer any and all your feed problems that you might have with your horses. And like I said earlier in the show, they deliver to you anywhere in the world. Wherever you need to go, they deliver. And they're the best in the business you got to go to. And then we go to our last call, which is the equine sales division, what they were doing. And it tells you how the owners decide, do they breed at home or do they go to the sales? And we got sales books coming up all the time, you know, in the thoroughbreds, Mid-Atlantic, Keeneland, Phasic Tipton, California, you know, all over the place. And, you know, they grab a hold of their books and they start going through it with their trainer and see what in the heck, you know, it's in there. And if they want to buy something and, you know, go look at them and, you know, see them and you see all kinds of them. They go from the weanling sales to the yearlings to the 2-year-olds in training to, you know, the 3-year-olds, you know, so it's really good. If you're buying a 3-year-old out of the sale, you're probably too late for the Derby. And then after the sales, you get the sales, the owner and the trainer get together, and we got a nice little video on there, of the trio of, major prep races, leading up to the Kentucky Derby. And, these are all the major prep races in which next week we'll start going over, you know, when they are and where they are and, you know, who's running and what. And that'll be a big part of our programming, every week. You know, on here, it's going to be exciting to follow. And then after that, we go to the owner makes the decision to run in the Kentucky Derby. And, that's where he sits down with, all the people that he deals with, the owner deals with. He sits down with the trainer. He sits down with his partners and it might be ownership in them. He sits down with the veterinarian. He sits down with the blacksmith. He sits down with the jockey. You know, yeah, they get a lot of people together and put their heads together, and then they make a decision, which is ultimately the owner's decision, to run in the Kentucky Derby. And then on the first Saturday in May, we have the 148th running on May 7th, the Kentucky Derby. And it's going to be exciting because everybody's at full capacity. Everybody's doing what needs to be done. And it's just really, really exciting, you know, to see all these things are coming up. But like I said, again, our whole website is developed to entertain and give statistical information about, you know, and a calendar of all the horses that are in the horse industry, both domestic and international. And that's what we're trying to do here with that website. You know, we've got everything on there that a horseman can need from motel, from banking, the Weather Channel, overnight stabling, equestrian information market, Ask a Vet, Good Sam's Club, MapQuest. You know, you name it, we got it on there. And it's all live and tape. And we ask you to call us at 561-466-1272 or go to IENTV.com and take a look at what all we have, you know, on our website here. You like the movies. That's what I like. I relax after being in the business, you know, all the day. What I do, I go watching the movies, you know, and it's a little bit crazy, you know, about it. But that's about the end of the forest here at IEN today. I struggled through the show. I'm recouping from some medical issues that I have, and hopefully it'll get better. And we'll add video, and all of our guys at BBSradio.com will take care of us. And if you're looking for something to do, go to BBS.com. They got everything on there. I got everything about horses, but they got everything about everything. And so we hope you tune in to them and tune in to our show next week. God bless everybody and stay safe and happy. Thanks for joining us on IENTV.com.